Tonight's message is the power of the tongue. And in beginning the message tonight, I want you to think about what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 139:14. He says, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And you and I, tonight's message is the power of the tongue. And in beginning the message tonight, I want you to think about what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 139:14. He says, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And you and I are also fearfully and wonderfully made. The master creator, God, fashioned our human bodies. And within this body, he gave us a very special member. It's small, it's hidden, but it's powerful. It's the tongue. It wields great power. You know, in James, in his epistle, talks about the tongue in James 3, verses 3 through 12. So if you have a chance tonight, later, after this meeting, read James chapter 3. He talks about the tongue and he compares it to the bit in a horse's mouth. That even though the bit is so small compared to the horse, it can turn that horse. Or the rudder on a ship. Though that rudder is so small on the ship, it can steer that ship left and right. Likewise, the tongue, though it is so small within the body, it is pretty powerful. Pretty powerful. It has great power. It has the power of death or life. And so tonight's message is from Proverbs 18:21. It's a scripture we've heard before, but tonight we're going to study it again. And it says this: "Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." Proverbs 18:21. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Think about it. There's two types of words. There's negative words and positive words. Those that love to speak and accustom themselves to speaking negative or positive words will experience the fruits, the consequences of those words. That's what it's saying in Proverbs 18:21. And so I ran across this interesting illustration. It's a resource called Sermon Central about the tongue. Okay, there's an old story that the Jewish rabbis tell. As the story goes, one day a rabbi asked his servant to go and buy some good food for him in the market. When the servant returned home, he presented the rabbi with a tongue. The next day, the rabbi told the servant to go to the market and buy some bad food. Again, the servant returned with a tongue. The rabbi then asked the servant why he returned with a tongue on both occasions. The servant answered and said, "Good comes from it and bad comes from it. When the tongue is good, there is nothing better, and when it is bad, there is nothing worse." There is nothing worse. And so for the next few moments, we're going to talk about negative and then positive words. Maybe you're prone to speaking negative words in your life because maybe negative words were spoken over you as a child. You got to think about it. When you open your mouth, is every other word a negative word? Maybe it's because somebody spoke, maybe a relative, a family member, a guardian spoke some negative words over your life and it made you bitter. And it kind of diminished your sense of self-esteem. It caused somewhat of a death to your self-esteem. And so now it's kind of embittered you and you remember those negative words. And the words that you speak on a continual basis for some of you happen to be negative words. Maybe you complain and gripe about the state of life you find yourself in. You know, you might be thinking tonight, "Man, you know, I've been at this job so many years and I haven't gotten a raise. It seems that I'm in the shelter year after year after year. It seems like I can't get out of it. I'd like an apartment, but it seems like I could never get an apartment. Or I'm just limited to the bus transit system." Year after year after year. So proceeding from your mouth, rolling off your tongue, are these words of complaint and griping. And you know, when you complain and you gripe, you know what it does when you're ungrateful? It kind of depresses you in your emotions. It kind of causes somewhat of a small death within your emotions. Or maybe you're prone to speaking four-letter words, blurting out four-letter words to that person who gets under your skin, to that person who irritates you. And when you speak that four-letter word, it kind of damages, hurts their feelings. And so, you know, as I was studying this week, I think there's no better example of the power of negative words than this example in the New Testament of Ananias and Sapphira. Anybody ever hear of the account of Ananias and Sapphira? We're going to read it tonight in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Ananias and Sapphira. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but he brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Verse 6 of Acts 5. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, verse 8, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to you, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the man who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Interesting, right? See, so what happened here was they pretended to bring the whole price, all of the proceeds from the sale of their land to the apostles' feet, when in fact, they only brought part, keeping back part of it for themselves. They tried to deceive the Holy Spirit and lie to God. And those lies that rolled off their tongues brought instant death. Death is in the power of the tongue. Negative words rolling off the tongue can bring death. And in this instance, it brought physical death. And maybe you find yourself in that place tonight where you have spoken negative words. Maybe on a pretty consistent basis, you speak negative words, whatever those words might be. But tonight is the night to start beginning to make a difference with your tongue. Today is the day to begin doing a 180 with the use of your tongue. Today is the day to start speaking, instead of negative words, life-giving words from your tongue. Is that good news here tonight? Today is the day to start speaking life-giving words like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When he walked the earth over 2,000 years ago and ministered for 3 years, he spoke words of life continually into the lives of those around him. I was reading this past week, Mark chapter 2. I thought it was awesome how Jesus spoke life into a paralyzed man. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, listen to these words of life, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Verse 8. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things? which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take up your mat and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take up your mat and go home. He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. In this account of the paralyzed man, Jesus brought life with his words. This man at one point was in a state of spiritual death, in sin, but Jesus spoke life-giving words. He said, son, your sins are forgiven. And he passed from spiritual death to spiritual life. He was born again, spiritually reborn on the inside because of those powerful words of life that Jesus spoke to him. He also spoke words of physical life into this man's body. He said, get up, take your mat and walk. And the man was healed. I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. Jesus also brought with his life-giving words physical wholeness to the sick man's body. He was healed instantaneously. And friends, if you call Jesus your Savior and your Lord, you call yourself a follower and a disciple of Jesus Christ, then your words proceeding from your tongue need to match the words that Jesus spoke when he walked this earth 2,000 years ago. Are you a true follower, a true disciple of Jesus Christ? Then why are four-letter words always rolling off your tongue? Instead, they need to be life-giving words, Christ-like words, words that edify yourself and build others up around you in your spheres of influence. You know, the next time you want to complain about not getting a raise at your job, instead of having words of complaint roll off your tongue, think about it and start thanking God that you at least have a job, that he gave you that job. You know, when you want to complain that you've always got to use the bus to travel, thank God that at least he's giving you the bus transit system. Start being grateful. Let words of thanks roll off the tip of your tongue. And as you do so, in place of depression, the joy of the Lord will enter. It will bring life to you on the inside as you start being grateful with your words towards God on a consistent basis. Is that making sense here tonight? We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:20. You and I are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. You are a representative of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're a representative of Jesus Christ, you need to start speaking like Jesus spoke when he walked this earth over 2,000 years ago. If when you get frustrated or irritated with a situation or with somebody and you're thinking about speaking a four-letter word, hold yourself, stop and say, what would Jesus say in this situation? Jesus would say, glory to God. God's got it all under control. You got to watch the words that proceed from your mouth, because if you put faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus is your Savior and Lord, then guess what? You are an ambassador, a representative of Jesus to the people around you, to those in your spheres of influence. Is that making sense here tonight? Let's start speaking life-giving words to ourselves, words of gratefulness to God, and let us speak edifying and uplifting words into the lives of others like Jesus did in Mark chapter 2 and throughout the Gospels. So, practically speaking tonight, how do you start making a 180 with the use of your tongue? If you've been prone to speaking negative words, words of complaint, four-letter words, gossip, maybe deception and lying like Ananias and Sapphira, if you've been prone to speaking negative words with your life, how do you start doing a 180 with the words that are proceeding from your mouth so that those negative words start dying off and you start speaking positive words out of your mouth? How do you do that? First and foremost, you might be thinking tonight, well, you know, I accepted Jesus as my Savior way back when, a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I accepted Jesus as my Savior. But guess what, friends? Jesus wants to be more than just Savior in your life. Jesus wants to be Savior and Lord. You might say He's your Savior, but He also wants to be your Lord, the one in full control, supreme in authority over every part of your life, including your, what? Your tongue. Your tongue. He wants to be Savior and Lord over every part of your existence, including this little member in your body called the tongue. You need to start submitting your tongue to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And you know, your language may not clean up overnight, instantly. It'll take a little bit of a process. But every time you want to speak a negative word, a four-letter word, a word of complaint, some wrong kind of thing, and it wants to come out of your mouth, stop yourself and think, wow, if Jesus is Lord of my life and Lord of my tongue, what would Jesus say in this situation? Would He lie? No. Jesus would speak the absolute truth off of His tongue. Would Jesus gossip and cause discord amongst people? No, Jesus would speak words of love and unity to bring people together. If He is your Savior and your Lord, and you say you're a true disciple of Jesus Christ, then your words have got to start matching the words that Jesus spoke when He walked this earth. Second, and very importantly, what did Jesus say in Matthew 12:34? Jesus said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Who rules and reigns upon the throne of your heart? Is it Jesus or is it you? Who are you full of on the inside? Is it Jesus or is it you? You know, if you're full of self-interest and an inflated ego and you're thinking about yourself all the time, then your words will be reflective of that. But if Jesus is your Lord, then He wants to rule and reign upon the throne of your heart. You become full of Jesus by studying the life and the ministry of Jesus as found in the Gospels, by praying to God on a consistent basis. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Very importantly, friends, guess what? You've got to be getting into the Word of God. Because what's in your heart will flow forth off the tip of your tongue. Are you reading about negative media? Are you reading the negative media? Watching the negative news all the time, looking at bad stuff, reading stuff that is not good for you, that fills your mind with fear and anxiety? Or are you getting into the Word of God? What did the psalmist write in Psalm 119, verse 11? What did he write? Famous verse. He said what in Psalm 119? Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. And he says this in Psalm 119, verse 11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus said, the mouth speaks. What is your heart full of tonight? What is your heart full of tonight? You know, if it's full of negative stuff or it's full of what you want to do with your life, that's got to go. And you've got to fill your heart with the Word of God. You need to stop reading all the time the negative media and getting into books that cause fear and anxiety and worry. And you got to start getting into the Word of God, not just two or three times a year. It's not going to cut it in your life spiritually to read the Word of God just at Easter and Thanksgiving and Christmas. You got to be getting into the Word of God really 7 days a week. You've got to be renewed and washed by the Word of God. Because what you put on the inside in your heart will be reflected in the words that roll off your tongue. I'll tell you tonight, if you're reading the Word of God consistently and meditating upon it, it's going to start flowing. Words of life will start flowing from your tongue. And as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, guess what? You can also bring words of life and healing to others. That's the point I want to make tonight. If you start getting full of the Word of God in your heart, in the core of your being, God will use the Word that's in the inside of you to bring life to others around you. Somebody who might be depressed, you can speak words of life. God loves you. God has got a plan for your life. Is that making sense here tonight? To somebody who is sick physically, you can say, you know what? You can lay your hands on them and say, in Jesus' name, I pray for healing over your body. Just like Jesus brought life through his words, you can do the same as his representative. Is that making sense here tonight? But in order to speak those life-giving words, the Word of God has got to be in your heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If the Word of God is in your heart, in the core of your being, those life-giving words will proceed from your tongue. And you'll be positively impacting those around you. So that when you get to heaven one day and you've positively impacted people with life, God will say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. I want to hear God say that to me. How about you?
Yeah.
Amen? Amen? So you got to start filling up. You got to start filling up your heart, the tank, with the Word of God. And you need to have Jesus there in your heart, ruling and reigning as Lord of your life. Amen?
Amen?
And as you were listening tonight, you thought, well, you know what? My words haven't been good. I've been speaking some negative words, but I want them to become positive. I want them to become life-giving words. It all starts with making Jesus Christ your Savior. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus, but tonight you want to do so for the first time. If there's somebody in the room tonight that has never accepted Jesus as your Savior, even once in your life, you want to do it tonight, raise your hands. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. If that's you, raise your hand. You've never put faith in Jesus, but tonight, for the first time, you want to do that. Raise your hand if that's you. You've never accepted Christ. Or maybe you accepted Jesus at some point in the past. And maybe you got upset with God. And you've walked away from Jesus. You slipped away, but tonight you want to recommit your life to Jesus. If that's you, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Yes, yes, ma'am. Stand up. Anybody else want to follow her lead, wanting to re-give your life to Jesus tonight? Because you know what? Cleaning up your language, speaking positive words, life-giving words like Jesus spoke, all begins with a relationship with Jesus. With Jesus ruling and reigning in your life. Anybody else want to follow their lead? Anybody else here tonight? Anybody else? Okay, see that hand? Anybody else want to follow their lead? Don't be afraid, don't be ashamed. It doesn't matter what somebody next to you is thinking. Only what God thinks about you is what really matters. Anybody else want to follow them? Follow that lead. Don't waste another moment because guess what? The next hour is not guaranteed you. If you were to slip into eternity in the next hour, do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you'd be in heaven with God and with Jesus? If you don't, you need to re-give your life back to Christ. All right, those standing up tonight, come forward to the altar. Sir, you can come as well. You want to sit there? Okay, no problem. Okay. Anybody else want to come forward to the altar? Follow their lead. All right, those standing up here tonight, repeat this prayer. Say, dear Jesus, I thank you that you died upon the cross for my sin. I followed you at one time, but I've slipped away. I've said and done some bad things. But tonight, I say I'm sorry. I change my mind from going my way to going your way only. Again, be my Savior and my Lord, the one in full charge of every part of my life. I love you, Jesus. Give me the strength to follow you all the days of my life. And I thank you that when I leave this earth, I'll see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. For those who came forward tonight and recommitted your lives to Jesus, there's things you can do to remain close to Jesus. You can be praying to God on a consistent basis, getting into the Word like we talked about, every day, every day. Finding solid Christian friends that you can fellowship with and continue going to these church services. May God richly bless you. I think Chris here is going to close us off.